What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Mongols podcast. I'm Mike. With me is Kev, Josh, and Liz. Coming up on today's show, we'll talk about the Hounds' loss to the Baby Bulls and their subsequent elimination from the playoff race, and what these last two home games mean going forward. Liz?
Let's go!
Can you believe that, guys?
No, I mean, that is the craziest sequence of events we've seen in quite a period of time.
In the top right corner, gentlemen. Out to the middle, back to
I have been waiting all season for somebody else to do that. So thank you, Liz, for finally taking it here at the tail end of things and running with it. I appreciate it.
I'm not shy.
Yeah. No, I actually asked, I remember one of the first shows, maybe it was first, no, it was last season when Coach Brandt first came in and we did an interview with him. I was like, yeah, this would be great. Could you do this? He was like,
no.
Nope. he was like, look, I'm up for a lot of things, but that's just totally out of character for me. And I was like, okay, that's
his
fair.
Wife would do it.
Yeah. So, Liz, it's been a little while since we've had you on.
I know.
Thanks for coming back on. Appreciate it.
I do what I can.
Yeah, that's right. Liz is, for those of you who don't know, Liz, I won't describe you as like the surrogate mother to the Steel Army, but that's sort of what it feels like at times. Like, it seems like every time I'm around, you're like, can I get you anything? Is there anything you need? How can I help you? What's going on? It seems like you do that with everybody. Is that like a fair assertion?
I mean, I have a drunk mom kit, so I'm your designated drunk mom at tailgate.
Okay, well then, yeah,
she's not the responsible one per se, but no. she's gonna, like, if you need some sunblock or
a band-aid,
you know, something like that, you can go to her.
So there you go. If you're at a game and you need something, you'll find Liz in the Steel Army.
I mean, simultaneously, when I was there against Bethlehem, I mean, every time I would look over, I saw Liz kind of screaming her head off too. So it's not like you just sit in the background. You're on that last railing yelling and swearing at people. So
there's a reason Josh and I don't stand together at matches. Like, I cheer very loudly and
she gets mean. She gets really mean. I'm just like, I'm gonna walk away. I don't want any blowback from this.
Yeah.
For those who haven't figured out as well, Liz and Josh are married.
Yes.
Yes. And we, like I said, we have had you on the show before. It's always fun having you on. It's just a shame that it's taken us long to get you back on. So we need to make this happen more often. Let's talk about it. Yeah, here we go. No victory beverage for,
nope.
I guess, well, no, we could still have some victory beverages for the rest of the season, but
the,
not after
the
this
sixth
one.
Game in a row, no victory beverage. Right?
Thanks, Kevin. I was down and you just like took me 6 feet deeper. You're the best, bud.
I'm looking at reaching the core of the earth on this one, Mike.
So the Hounds lost 2-0 on the road against Red Bulls 2. As we mentioned in the opener, that does it for their season. We can get into the grander scope of the season as a whole, and we will, you know, more or less after the season's over. But let's just focus on the context of this game specifically, because honestly, we've talked about it. If the Hounds were able to win out, you know, starting at Baby Bulls, and that's not an easy task, but they would have had, I think the percentage was like 85% chance of making the playoffs. So to go into Red Bulls and lose, you know, 2-0, really not have many shots, legit shots on goal. What are we thinking here? I mean, Kev, do you want to, since you want to start us really low, what's one of your takeaways here?
For me, I was just amazed at again, it's the whole tale of two halves thing that we talked about last week with Casey. I mean, yeah, it's, we looked so bad in the first. I mean, I struggle to think of a shot on net in the first 25 minutes, maybe. If not the first half, I mean, that's how, from memory, that's how bad it was. I think the Red Bulls were, their players were technically better than us. They were picking up better spaces, and we were just, you know, like it was last week, we were completely non-existent and flat in the first half. And maybe if we turned in the performance we had in the second half, in the first half, maybe it becomes a different game. But for me, that was the most frustrating thing to see, because once again, this isn't like a mid-season game where the playoffs are far distant in the horizon. I mean, players know what's expected of them in this game, and to come out like that is inexcusable. Another thing that I kind of picked up, because it did seem like once again there was just so much space over the pitch, and our midfield was separated from our back four, and our midfield was also separated from our forwards. If you look, I guess that field is 10 yards longer and 5 yards wider than Highmark. And this I think this might be kind of a reoccurring thing. I didn't check the dimensions of the game last week, but it did, once again, it felt like a bigger pitch, and it felt like there were holes all over the pitch that we were just creating. I don't know. I mean, that might be something where, you know, we don't like playing on big pitches from here on out. That might be something to look at maybe in the future. But yeah, I think I want to say Highmark is like 110 by 70. And I think
you're making that up.
I swear to God, stop it. Look it up. People listening to this podcast, go to the internet. And I want to say this, and then the Red Bulls field is like 120 by 75 or something like that. Anyway, that was just my small little bit of research that I did that I wanted to contribute for once.
thanks, Kev. I will say that one of the things that I mentioned when I was on the Cincy show, you know, in terms of it's good for the Hounds if, and it's bad for the Hounds if, and I said that it's good for the Hounds if you see our central midfielders pushing up high. Because that means that the whole line is up and they're sort of stepping into the midfield and they're intercepting passes, because really we rely heavily on the central midfielders to be that first sort of offensive pass forward when we're not just lobbing balls over the top. It's a lot of like balls over the top, guys head it down to the central midfielders who then have to do something with it. And the problem with this game was we were defending so much that, you know, Solto, for the most part, by himself, before Okai came in late, was really sort of hanging back deep. And there was, Kev, like you said, there was just mountains of space open in the midfield that the Red Bulls could just step into and exploit. And when you're trying to connect passes over 30 yards, a lot of those are just going to be long Hail Mary passes that you're just not going to be able to do anything with. So, Josh, I saw, were you watching the game wearing the Mr. Rogers owl mask?
I mean, after the game was over, I put that on. He had the perfect face of disappointment that I was feeling at the time. We had Tifo painting at Zach's house, one of the Steel Army board members. And so after, you know, spending all day, 2 days in a row, we're talking like 5 hours every day of doing Tifo, and then coming inside and watching that game, it was especially a defeating feeling after spending all that time, you know, doing something for the team. And it's like, oh, great, cool. Just echoing what Kevin was saying, having them come out and be that lifeless and that we've seen in the past for this game, especially knowing how important it is, it's just, what's going on? Like, why? Like, I mean, they know that they need this win. They know that, you know, they have to play their hearts out. And yet they come out and they look that bad. And they look better the second half. So it's not like that they're not good enough. Like, I'd be one thing if, you know, they were just outclassed, outplayed. But seeing them being able to play that well in the second half, I'm not saying they were great in the second half, but they were a little much better. Seeing that from the second half, knowing that they can be that way, but they came out the other way, is what's really just frustrating.
Liz, what do you think?
Awful. You did. Terrible.
Spill the emotions, Liz.
All right, first things first. I have to say, Kevin was right. Those are the field sizes. So.
Oh. Boom. Don't doubt me.
One of the podcast. Never say Kevin is right.
We will never hear the end of this.
Yes. Yes, thank you, Liz. Thank you.
I can come back anytime.
It's the last time you're on ever.
That's fair. I mean, nothing looked good. It would have been one of those moments where I was screaming, get it together, let's see some action. Josh would have walked away again because he hates when I...
Well, because there would have been a lot more cursing in there as well. It would have just been those two phrases.
I appreciate you refraining, Liz.
Much more flowery language going on if it was a home game.
Yeah, And even the field just looks low. Like, the field didn't look... Is it turf? Everyone told me it was turf.
It looked like...
Yeah, I mean, it was that kind of... I saw them kicking up the rubber stuff. I mean, so I don't know how similar
it had too many rubber pellets in it. That might also be an issue. Slowing the ball down a lot.
Yeah.
But, I mean, nothing about it looked good. That being said, I'm not as down about the Hounds in general as it felt like the Steel Army was after spending 7 hours painting and then watching a loss. I mean, there's a lot to be said for this season in general. I feel much more optimistic than I thought I would, just, you know, going into this next game with the Old Guard Shield and the possibility of getting that. We already have the Keystone Cup. If we can get the Shield, it's 2 out of 3. There's a song about it. It ain't bad.
We at least tied for the Washington Cup. I didn't see what the tiebreaker was there, but if somebody comes, maybe we'll get Lauren. Maybe we'll ask Lauren to make like the bust of Taylor Washington. She seemed to really be into that. Lauren, if you're listening, it's tough because I think immediately, you know, my reaction was like, well, crap. Like, I think I posted the meme of Ben Affleck, and it said, "Hello, darkness, my old friend," where he's in the interview with Henry Cavill. That's sort of what it felt like. And the Hounds actually, like, retweeted that with, like, a sad face. And I'm like, yeah, this is where we're at.
Self-aware. That's important.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, exactly. But I think, Liz, you're right. I think... since sort of taking that broader approach and sort of thinking about the season as a whole, it's difficult to get too down. I think I'm more, I don't want to say excited to sort of see what's next and sort of have the discussion, which we'll get into in a bit, about, you know, what does this mean? What do these next two games mean? What is the team's plan for the offseason to continue to develop? Because there's no doubt that the team has developed from last year to this year. But we've talked about it before, how it's difficult because the rest of the USL is also developing. And so you're not just trying to do better than yourself, you're trying to keep pace with everybody else, which is not easy. So to really hear what the team's plans are to do that and what pieces, you know, they think they need to fix and all of that, those are all discussions that I think we're really looking forward to having with ownership, with, you know, coach, with some of the players and things like that, which we'll get into here in the off season. But I totally agree. I think, you know, back to this game, I don't want to pick on one player, but I've sort of been picking on him for the past few weeks. I did not think that Romeo had a good game. I made a comment at one point where he got the ball just inside the 18. And if you're an offensive player at all, your thought is like, shoot there. And instead of shooting, he dumped the ball out wide to Corey, who really had no angle at all. And I made some sort of comment like, you know, that's just pure lack of confidence there. Like, if you're a striker or you're somebody who's going to goal, you take that shot. And I think it was Krasinski that came back and made some sort of comment like, no, that's just like, poor decision making and lack of sharpness, and which I can't really argue with, you know, Josh.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lack of confidence, and that's one thing. But I'm also not, you know, there's a lot of other players to blame in this one. There was that sitter that Corey had. He was on pretty much on the line. He gets it right to his feet, and he somehow defies all odds and misses it when he's right in the middle of the net. I don't know. I still don't understand how that happened. He was like, what, like a foot outside the net, and he whiffs it?
And it wasn't just that miss either, Josh. I mean, I was thinking throughout the entire game that Corey's having a really bad game here. I thought when he did get on the ball, he would kind of give it away cheaply. Or, I mean, another thing that I've kind of noticed, I don't know. This could be too harsh, but I think, you know, one of the things we admire about Corey is his kind of work ethic and how he kind of chases down balls. But there comes a point where you do it when it's useful and, like, tactical for your team. Like, if no one else is backing you up and you know that, and you're just running around and they're just kind of passing around you, that's not helping anyone. I mean, you're tiring yourself out, and sure, it looks good and all that kind of stuff, but they're able to easily move the ball around you, and then you get frustrated and you get tired and blah, blah, blah. To piggyback on what you said, Josh, he didn't have a good game overall, I think, period.
And I don't think that's uncommon for him. I mean, you're right, he has the work ethic, but when he has a dry streak, he loses confidence. He makes really bad decisions. He passes it off really easily, or he shoots high. I mean, he's had a lot of that this season, and I'm not sure exactly what are the connecting factors in that for him. I feel bad. It sucks. It sucks for him. It sucks for us. I also have a question. Why wasn't Chevy on from the start? I mean, he has shown a lot of promise lot of development, and I'm not okay with him being on the bench for the start.
Well, that's one of the things that, when I hearken back to a lot of the conversations that I've had with people, especially when we started talking about, what is this team moving forward? Somebody mentioned can you imagine what having Chevy for 2 or 3 years could eventually look like his development just over. And so I totally agree. I just to get back to my original point about Romeo, when they took off Howell and brought Chevy in, I was a bit disappointed because I thought Howell was at least making some things happen.
Yeah, that made me upset. I mean, that made no sense to me whatsoever. Howell looked like the most likely out of all of them for me. And then to pull him off on, 60 or something? I mean, that didn't make a lot of sense to me. And what Liz just mentioned there, what you just talked about, I mean, for me, as we kind of take what we saw in this game and project it forward to what we would like to see in the next games, personally, I'd like to see a front two of Howell and Chevy. I don't think there's any reason to start really either Corey or Romeo at this point. I mean, both of them have had a very bad run of games. It's not just them. I think there were bad performances all over the pitch. I remember, getting through that first half, it felt like the Red Bulls had possession almost 100% of it, at least for the first 20. We finally get on the ball and have more than 10 seconds of it. And then I think, I forget exactly who it was or at what minute, but then we decide to hit this 40-yard diagonal crossfield pass to Kerr, who's hugging the touchline, who has maybe 10 yards of space. And of course, the pass needs to be pinpoint, and of course it's not. And then we end up giving the ball. It's like, why are you doing it? And it makes no sense. And then all that happens is the player is like, oh, so puts his hand up, and everyone gets back. And it's like, this isn't good enough, especially not for the size of this game.
I mean, you mentioned this a bit last week. I mean, do you think in the evolution of this team that one of the things is they need to have higher standards for themselves? Like, they need to basically not... Like, that's not acceptable.
I thought about that along those lines in this game, comparing our players against the Red Bulls players and what the commentators were talking about how the Red Bull players... some of them have broken into the first team, Junior Fleming, and then how he's going to MLS player. And you start to think about, okay, there's a clear, even if you take away the baseline, basic motivation for any player, which is to play for their fans and to play for the shirt and to play for themselves, getting past that, the Red Bulls players have a clear, if I play well, there is a chance I play in the MLS team. For the Hounds players, I don't know. I mean, maybe this is what the connection is with Columbus is pretty nice. They know they have eyes watching them. What is their motivation other than, once again, the obvious, you should be playing for us, you should be playing for the shirt, you should be playing for yourselves.
I mean, but we saw with Robbie Vincent, I mean, if they play well in this league, they will get called up. They will get someone to see them. And it's not just with Columbus. It's any team in the MLS can take them. At least with these guys in the Hounds team or squad, that you'll see that they have opportunities with all the clubs. Whereas if someone plays well in New York Red Bulls too, you have to break into that first squad, and that's going to be very hard because there's, not as many spots available. I don't think motivation's a problem. I think maybe the type of players we still have a good number of people who aren't trying to get into MLS. They're more, hey, I've been there before, or I don't plan on going there. I'm retiring in this league. Like, we have those players. So their motivation is kind of hard to say.
one of the players that I think, you know, at least I feel like we need to give some shout out to is Matt Parrella, because the game could have been a lot worse off than it was. Dude made some saves and stood tall. So, you know, kudos to him. Big thanks. Don't know what the future holds for him, but yeah. Liz, you're laughing. Is there?
It's the cat.
Okay.
She keeps like knocking her head on the bottom of the table, like boom, boom.
Yeah, sorry if you hear.
I was like, do you have something against Matt Parrella, Liz? Is that what's going on here?
No, there's at least one save where he went down hard, and I was like, oh God, please get up, Like,
the eighth keeper of the season.
No, he had a really good game, and he was consistent. He didn't get, I mean, I'm sure he got frustrated, but he didn't let that show in, like, screaming at his teammates or breaking down what should be a group effort. I think maybe that's part of the problem with this team as well, that there have been a lot of people in and out on the season. You haven't, just as you get to start building that really good core, like, even if it's just, you know, six people who really know what each other's doing and you can sub in and out the rest of them, like, you didn't have that because of injuries, and because it felt like when you did one lineup change, you changed four different people. You couldn't build anything. It didn't feel like that came to them. And I think maybe that's part of what went wrong this season.
Now, I agree with you 100%. Because I just remember when the last Bethlehem game, when we talked to Jamal Jack, and he basically said, like, that was Matt Parrella's first game and goal for us. And he basically said, look, like, I had no idea what he was going to do. So, like, if anything came near me, I was just going to clear it. So there is that comfort level of knowing who's behind you and what to expect and things like that. And so I totally agree that team cohesion is vital to have any sort of success. But somebody is going to point out that if you look at some of the other teams that are out there, like the Red Bulls, like Bethlehem Steel, who sometimes have these revolving doors of MLS players that are coming back in, they're getting a few minutes, they're going back up, they're messing with that team cohesion as well. And yet they are currently further along in the standings than we are. So,
I mean, but in that situation, you have an identity that we've talked about in the past, where Red Bulls have a way of playing, a style. And no matter who's in those slots, they know their role. They know how to play in that style. Whereas the Hounds, I don't feel like we've had that cohesive style yet. We haven't had time to build it. I think Brandt has a vision for what that's going to be. But, I mean, we're not there anywhere close to being there yet. So with the Red Bulls, you can slot in these random players as long as they know the style of play, which they do.
And again, they are slotting in one or two players. They're not changing up six players. They're not changing up four players. They're slotting in a couple at a time. So it's not the same as changing your lineup every fourth game.
Yeah. No, that's a very valid point. I wonder, and you know, we've talked about this a little bit off and on all season. This feels like a season recap. It shouldn't be a season recap yet. But, you know, whether or not Brandt's system is very different than a lot of other systems that we've seen, and whether or not that's a good thing
or a bad
thing.
Okay, tell me what Brandt's system is, because I think this is a myth. I think we've been talking about it kind of off and on. Brandt's blah, blah, blah. I don't feel like I've seen his idealized system over the course of the entire season. I thought we saw it at the beginning of the season, and then now, yeah, for me, we've completely, I don't want to say regressed, but kind of went to this whole chaotic, direct, lump it up and try to play some form of defense. I mean, oh, sorry. So but I pose the question to you: what is Brandt's system? I don't know what it is.
Down to the core, Kevin. Down to the core. So I would say that we saw glimmers of Brandt's system during that 1 month stretch. What was it, July or August, where we went lossless? Mm-hmm. Where the system is, you play a solid four in the back. You have two central holding midfielders, which I've said before, I'm like, that's a little bit weird. But you have two central holding midfielders. And then you have really what feels like, it's almost like a 4-2-2-2, where your two outside mids are really wide. And the game plan is you don't really care about possession as much. It's much more of a counterattacking style, where if you get it on defense, you're not concerned about playing the ball out from the back. If you do, okay. But it's much more of a like scramble defense. You lump it up to your forwards, whose job is not to turn and go to goal, but to play it back to those central midfielders who are holding, and then they are the ones that lead the attack forward, and you basically have four players running at goal at that point.
And I would generally agree with that assessment. My only problem with that is, if we're playing that style, we're nowhere near organized or structured enough defensively to play that style. We're either, we're all over the place. I mean, our midfield is so disconnected from our back four. We're not. We have players just kind of aimlessly closing down other players, seemingly out of context from what the rest of the players are doing. And it's just, I'm fine going about it that way. We just need to see a team that's much more structured and organized, especially defensively, in order to pull that off.
And I think we would see that, but I feel like every time he wants to get this system going, that it's been compromised with either, you know, defensive issues or people not doing their roles, and then so he has to slot in new people. I feel like we keep on getting a compromised system from him. I don't feel like we've seen his system fully play out all that much. We've seen flashes of it, but every time he kind of gets going, he kind of has to reinvent the wheel every single time and get new players in to figure out the system.
Is it possible that Brandt's system is too complicated for the USL?
No, I think at its core, it's a simple system. If it is what you just talked about. It's a fairly simple thing that has been, you know, played all over the world, in the U.S. and Europe. You know, strong and structured at the back, quick counter, and you know, no intricate pass. I mean, this is pretty simple. It's not a Guardiola Barcelona pass it all over the pitch thing. I mean, that's hard. I mean, I think this is pretty straightforward.
I'll be the first to say I don't know anything about systems. Zero. Like, not my forte. But if that's the system, let's say we have to build from the ground up, our defense has gotten so much better. Like, there are legitimately defensive players that people want to do player of the year. Like, the voting is out, and they're not slacking. It's not everyone voting for a forward. When your defensive players are getting player of the year, that's something to recognize, that maybe we're just building the ground floor. And I'm okay with that. Like, you have to start somewhere, and if you're going to start by not letting in last minute goals every single game repeatedly, I'm down.
That's a great point, because I think if you, once again, you're talking about, like, we did make progress this season, and I think that progress is solely down to our defense. It's not because we're attacking better than we were last season. I mean, we went through that stretch of winning 1-0 and kind of keeping it tight, getting draws. Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely, our defense has been, I'm happy with our defense so far this season. It's just things at the other end of the pitch.
I guess any other takeaway specifically about this game before we sort of talk about, you know, what's next? I mean, the one thing I will mention, you guys talked about, you know, Corey's unfortunate knock off the crossbar. I made the comment on Twitter. I almost feel like if Corey didn't touch it, the goal would have gone in.
I thought that at first, but then we watched the replay, and actually, yeah, it was farther away from the goal than I thought.
Oh, was it? Okay.
So, yeah, right. So it wasn't going to go in if he didn't touch it. I was really upset when I first saw that play out live. I was like, did he just block his own goal? Like, I was pissed. But then watching it again, it's like, okay, never mind. He didn't block it. It wasn't going to go in. He just whiffed it somehow.
Well, unless I missed it, or unless they've changed it, I'm pretty sure, I went back and just watched the highlights of this game, I'm pretty sure the USL didn't put that chance of Corey hitting the crossbar at the end in the highlights.
It was not. There was no chances from us.
Yeah, but what?
In that replay. Yeah, watching the replay, because I usually watch a replay before the game, or before we podcast, and I rewatched that replay, and I'm like, did we not have any shots on goal? Because this replay does not show any.
That's USL showing some favoritism, that's all.
Yeah, well, yeah. Whatever.
Kevin, you're muted, and you're talking with your hands.
Crap! So nobody Sorry. I try to like strategically mute because it's hot in here and we have the window open. Anyway, there was also that other chance right before Corey hit the crossbar where someone whipped the cross in. Corey was there open to kind of have a tap in, and their defender just slides in at the last second and gets a toe on it and just barely pushes out. You know, if that defender doesn't get a toe on it, it's a goal for us. I mean, so that was a little weird. I was slightly upset with that, but no, Mike, my final point is it's over. The season's done. And
there's still some things to play for.
Yeah, no, for sure. And it hasn't, I wouldn't, you know, I'll save it for the season recap, but I'm not saying it's been a disastrous season.
Okay, fair enough. So the loss, and unfortunately OCB winning yesterday, means the Hounds are, well, they're not quote-unquote officially out of the playoff race, but they need to win the last two games, and every other team above them needs to not get a point from here on out. And even then, it would be a tiebreaker, so that's not gonna happen.
I was told it was officially over as well, like, because it has to do with win-loss ratio with who you're tied with.
Josh, you just shot me back down to the core, man. I had this like little itty bitty glimmer. Now I'm gonna be a downer the rest of the show. No,
there's no room for hope right now. It's get out of your system now.
It's gone.
So negative.
So all right, yeah. Let's talk about this then. So as fans, you know, we mentioned that the Rochester game coming up here is an Old Guard Shield game. You know, specifically, we are currently in first place with 12 points. The only team that really has a shot at overtaking us at this point is Charleston, who play Harrisburg. So there's a good chance that Charleston can win that game. They're currently sitting on 11 points. So a Charleston win and a Hounds draw or loss would basically mean Charleston would be the first ever Old Guard Show winner, not us. So we need a win here. But I guess as fans, how do we approach these next two games? What are we looking for? What do we want to see from the team? What do we expect to see from the team? Like, do we think there's anybody on this team that's going to go out and just, you know, go through the motions because they know the playoffs are out of the picture? Or do we think that guys are going to come out and, you know, really battle? What are we thinking here?
I don't think that they should just go in and give up. Hopefully the fans go in knowing that you're supposed to have fun for these games. The Old Guard Shield matters to us, so we want you to play for that. But also, the Hounds have the option on a majority of these contracts. If you don't think that you're playing for next year when your option is out there, you are sadly mistaken. And we're trying to build a community, especially with, you know, the supporters. Like, I expect them to go out. I expect the supporters to have fun, even if that ends up in sarcasm, because, you know, it's us. And then I want the players to come over at the end. You know, win or loss, like, I know it sucks to come over afterwards. Like, when you're not feeling great and we're not feeling great. But we love to see these guys. And even at the last game of the season, like, we love to see you guys come over and just be part of that group. Be part of the Steel Army.
Yeah. And honestly, you know, to your point, it's the Hounds are trying to build something bigger than themselves, which is good. Like, that's what you want to see out of a club. So it's not just what happens on the field. It's not just the interaction with the Steel Army afterwards. It's, we've heard time and time again, a number of these guys go in and then coach at the academy. And like, what's that showing to the kids when, you know, they don't go out and give their all and then they're going in and trying to coach them. And, you know, not even just the academy, but now they're trying to branch out to a bunch of the local youth organizations. And what sort of, you know, sign does that show to them if the guys aren't going out and giving it their all? So I don't expect, you know, Brant to go into this and think like, well, these last two games don't matter. He's going to go in and think we need 6 points. Like, that's how we're going to play. Now, whether or not that means we change anything, like we experiment with stuff because now we have that freedom to do it. I got some head shaking here on the video, Josh.
I just don't want to see any more, especially now, like, these last two games are a chance for them to show that this team is resilient, that they have what needs to be done for the next season. You know what I mean? Like, this is their chance to actually prove that they have the ability to rise back up.
Okay, and how many more teams do we have for next season? 2, 3, 17? I don't know. We have more teams next season. So if we started this early now, what does practice start, like, right after the new year? So you're not going to get a break from these guys. You might as well make it a team. Make it work.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Kev?
No, yeah. I mean, like, all of that I would echo. I mean, another thing is it's, you know, having it. Okay. I don't know if Brant shares this mentality and if the players share this mentality, but for me at least, to be able to end the season with 6 points, 2 home wins, regardless
Old Guard Shield.
What?
Old Guard Shield.
Old Guard Shield. Yeah, but I think for me, I can look back on the end of that season and still carry that momentum into the next part of, you know, or into next season, the first game of the next season. You can look back and say, look, we've won our last two games. I mean, it might be a while ago, but to finish strong in that sense, and also, I mean, to be able to finish as high in the table as possible kind of gives you a morale boost to be able to look and kind of compare, okay, last season, I actually forget in what place we finished last season, what, second from bottom in the East or something like that. But to be able to kind of look, even if it's a position or two, separate by a point or two, to be able to look at that and say, look, this is our clear mathematical progress from our standings. You know, we've let in, you know, X amount of less goals. We've scored X amount of more goals. To be able to finish that strongly, I think is extremely important. But
well, one of the things that I hadn't considered, but Brant pointed out in whatever is the K2 engineering keys to the match or whatever whatever video they do, he brought up the fact that there's only been one team in all of the Eastern USL that we've not gotten at least a point from this year, and that's Louisville. But every other team we've played, we've at least gotten a point from, which, Kev, to your point, is like progress. Like, yeah.
And another thing to keep in mind is what you don't want to see is us not win these two games, which means we've gone seven games without winning, which means that they're going to be able to say at the beginning of next season, they've gone 630 minutes without winning a single game.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, we don't want that, you know, rolling over into next season and being a weight on their shoulders that's going to weigh them down and it's going to, you know, make that mountain even bigger that they have to climb. That's, yeah, you want to have a good end of your season so you don't have that weighing you down next season.
Yeah. I think, at least for me, these are all, like, the logical on paper objective reasons, but really the thing I buy in most is what Liz mentioned at the beginning of this whole, like, building this community connection with the fans. You know, you don't want to let the fans down. You don't want to let the local community in Pittsburgh down. You don't want to let the kids that you coach at the academy down. You want to go out there and fight for every minute and every point that you can to the final whistle of the season. I think that's the most important thing, but yeah, all these other things we're talking about isn't bad either.
Well, let's talk a little bit about this next game here. So Rochester comes to town on Saturday. The Rhinos haven't won in their past five games, including the 1-1 draw with us just a few weeks ago. Recently, they lost 1-0 to the Kickers, who are second to last in the East, and then they drew 0-0 against Louisville, who are the top team in the East. So they're all over the place. Who knows what we're going to get with them. You know, we talked a little bit already about the importance of the Old Guard Shield. So there is definitely something tangible for the Hounds to play for in this game. It's at home. I'm sure the Hounds still have, you know, the 1-1 just burned into the back of their brain from the last time Rochester were here just a few weeks ago. Which, honestly, again, we've talked about how things could have turned on a season. We get 3 points in that game and start carrying some momentum. This could have been a different end. But it's all hypothetical at this point. I don't really even feel like we need to talk about Rochester specifically, other than the fact they're all over the place. What do we expect in this game in terms of, you know, Josh and Liz, you guys said, like, please no more tinkering with the lineup. Sort of, who do you expect to see? What do you expect the outcome to be? All of that. Josh, have at it.
I mean, first off, something to keep in mind is this game, if we win this game, we definitely win the Old Guard Shield. The Old Guard Shield will be at Highmark for this game. It's doing its tour right now, and it's going to be at the stadium. First time it's been in Pittsburgh. So it would mean a huge amount if, you know, it gets to Pittsburgh, and then that's the same time we win the Old Guard Shield. And we just keep it at that point. We keep it for all season. It doesn't go on the rest of the tour.
Cancel the tour. Yeah.
Well, we're technically the last stop, but I like the idea. It stays with us. We keep that trophy from there on out. We don't have to ship it back to any other team.
Quick Liz? Problem, though. There's no way to drink victory beverages out of the shield. This is an oversight by whoever planned this, and I am not pleased.
The Steel Army's resilient. I'm sure you guys will find some way.
Don't worry. We'll find a way.
Well, and we know how much, I shouldn't say how much cups mean to the guys, but, you know, the trip to Harrisburg, you could see on John Krasinski's shaky Twitter live Periscope thing, just how excited they were to have a piece of hardware and to be able to celebrate with the fans. So this is another opportunity to you know, really experience that at home in front of everybody and sort of make some, I don't want to say, not some semblance of the season, but at least redeem some piece of it after not being able to make the playoffs.
It's something to celebrate. I mean, it's a reason to celebrate, which this team sorely needs something to celebrate. So winning that would be awesome. The first time we've had the Shield and they are the first winners of it, it would just be, you know, pretty cool.
So let me phrase it this way. And Josh, I'll pick on you first again. Do you think we see a lineup different than what we saw against Red Bull? Or do you think we revert back to something else? Or what are you thinking in terms of...
I wouldn't expect too many changes, but I do think we're going to see some shaking up in the forwards. I don't know. I feel like Brandt, it might be sending a message with these last two, because even though they're important, which they are, it is an opportunity for him to, you know, kind of put that, you know, his foot down on some things and be like, listen, you're not performing, you're not playing. So I wouldn't doubt it if we do see a different starting forwards. So that's really the only change I could see happening is the forwards. And we don't have Greenspan either. I don't believe so.
Not yet. There's time.
So yeah, I'm pretty sure it was a one game loan for Greenspan. So he's obviously not going to be in the lineup either.
Yeah, Liz, what would you like to see?
I don't want to see a bunch of changes just because I would like to see some consistency. It probably reverts back to what it was before the Red Bulls 2 game. I think that was, you know, a break from previous starting lineups. I don't know if that's bad. I don't know. I'm not great with the lineups.
That's fair. You know. That's fair.
As a fan who is you know, one player who may have been in and out of this lineup, or even if it's a mainstay, that you want to see in the starting 11 for sure?
Yeah, I mean, Chevy's my man. Okay. He's it for me this season. Chevy's my person.
You are my person.
Chevy.
Kev, how about you?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think now's the time to experiment. There's still points to be won, things to be claimed. So I still think you put out the best... You put out the team that gives you the best chance of winning. That being said, I think that actually does involve changes in the lineup. I mean, like I mentioned before, personally, I'd like to see Chevy and Howe start up front, not because I think we need to change for changing sake, just because I think that gives us the best chance of winning right now. I think both Corey and Romeo are in poor form. I would be borderline upset to see some wild card throw in like a Jack Thompson that we haven't seen all season. I mean, now, granted, I mean, if Brandt's seeing something in training and he feels like they deserve a spot, then, you know, I understand that. But I don't want to see just rotation for rotation's sake. That would kind of make me upset. But I mean, and the other thing to note, I mean, for me personally, I think we still kind of owe Rochester, because I think, you know, if we get a win against Rochester and then go away on our two away games, maybe we carry a bit more momentum into those games and maybe results happen differently. I mean, it's also a feeling of superiority rolling into next season to be able to look back and say, no, we beat you guys pretty handily. And we, you know, what I'm pretty sure the previous two meetings with Rochester were draws, right? So to be able to come out dominant over Rochester, a team that's what, fourth or fifth in the East right now, I mean, that's something to be proud of and something to remember going into next season. So, yeah, I just want to see a team that gives us the best chance of winning. And I that might include some changes, but, yeah.
Fair enough. Let's do some score predictions. Liz, what do you think?
I'm going 3-1 Hounds.
Woo, man. I like it. Josh?
Need some sass in this game.
That's right. I feel like it's going to be a close game. I don't see us going with a clean sheet, just because it's, you know, there's still issues, and there's still the fact that no matter how good Perella did, he's still kind of not a sturdy back, sturdy keeper for us as far as communication with the rest of the back line and them playing cohesively. So I say we let in a goal, but I feel like we get the two up top. So 2-1.
Kev?
Hey, we're back on the small pitch, so I think that makes the world of difference. And
we will never hear
never let it down.
You are welcome.
Oh, what was Liverpool score this weekend, Kev?
What?
Oh.
Really? So I wasn't even the one who brought it up this time. I mean, so,
yeah, we'll say.
Let that be known. But no, I mean, I actually feel pretty good. I mean, I think the game will actually give Pirelli some confidence. And you're right, Josh, is maybe as a back five, we haven't looked as solid as we have been over the past couple games. But I think going back home, you know, I don't know. Maybe the players might play with a little less pressure on their shoulders now that everyone kind of sees the writing on the wall of how the season's going to end. I'm seeing a 2-0 win. I think we can keep a clean sheet, and I think players get angry, and we see two goals going.
I think, you know, after the last battle with Rochester at home, and it was a battle. I mean, I think watching parts of that game, there were moments where I caught myself thinking that the team wasn't playing well, but really it was just sort of playing Rochester's game. Like we talked about, that's what Rochester does, is they just suck the life out of a game and they make you battle the small battles in midfield and just sort of hope for something to spring loose. And so, yeah, I think it's going to be another one of those. I don't know if it's going to be the most entertaining game to watch. I think mentally, the guys really are going to have to be ready for it, because I think teams like Rochester are more tough on you mentally, because it's very easy to get discouraged when you play 30, 45, 50 minutes and you only have a shot on net because of how they want to hold the ball in the midfield. But I think if they can stay there, and they could just keep with them, that, you know, as the game rolls on, I think the momentum will start to shift to us. And so, yeah, I think I tend to agree with, like, Josh. I think I'll say, like, a 2-1 win for the Hounds. I do think that they, playing for the Old Guard Shield, you know, trying to redeem themselves for everything that's happened over the past, really, 2 weeks of just not showing up. My only hope is that, you know, they come out and they almost put 10 bodies behind the ball for the first half and just, like, you know, we're not gonna let you score. It's just we're just gonna hang with you and we're gonna get our chances and see what happens from there. So I don't feel great about it, because we've seen obviously the mental lapses in the past two games, but the fanboy in me is saying that, you know, we hang with them and we're able to get the points. So I guess any other thoughts? Just, you know, nothing too negative here before we wrap the show up. It's just, I want to try to end positive here, people. Like, it's not, yeah.
I mean, we're still tailgating, so that's positive.
There you go.
It's always a good time.
There you
go. Over, hang out, 4 p.m. That's when tailgating starts.
There's a grill. Bring your hot dogs.
Yep. Jello shots for, you know, those of age.
So it's going to be a party regardless, no matter what's going on. Everybody can go party. Hopefully, after the game's over, you could celebrate with the Old Guard Shield. Even if not, hopefully the guys come over, keep that community going. I like that. We'll go from there. So let us know what you think about the game. Let us know what you think about the next two games, how you think everything shakes out, what is most important to you as fans as we go into these last two games, now that playoffs are, you know, as Josh said, technically out of the picture. And then we'll go from there. Liz, thanks for coming back on.
Hey, no problem.
Yeah, like I said, it's totally my fault that we don't have you on more often. So I need to, like, fix that and just, you know, have you on more often, because we love having
you. I mean,
you on.
Josh puts up with me a lot, so it's probably for the best.
Well, that's what I was like, hey, Liz, you want to come on the show? I, like, didn't ask Josh first. I was like, is he going to be okay
that's
with
the only way to make only way to make it happen. Good choice.
So you're saying if I went to Josh, I was like, hey, Josh, what's Liz doing? Is she available?
He'd be she's going to be busy. I'm sorry. I don't think she's in the house that day, actually. She had the thing with some stuff. Maybe next time.
For those who want more of Liz, obviously you can find her tailgating. You can find her with the Steel Army. You can also find her on Twitter at BrokawElizabeth. So go check her out. Give her a follow. Love having chats on there. So big stuff. As I mentioned a little bit, we got a few different guests lined up for our next few shows, including, you know, Big news, Hounds owner Tuffy Schallenberger. We'll get his thoughts on the offseason, what's next for the Hounds, where we go from here. That'll all be after the season's officially over. So send us all of your thoughts, questions, and talking points, and we'll be sure to go through them over the next few weeks. If you want stuff for Tuffy, send them to us. If we're going to have John Krasinski on later. We're going to have a few different people on. So anything you want to talk about, you want us to talk about, you want to come on the show and talk about, send them our way. We're going to keep the water cooler occupied for the rest of the season, and everybody can jump in and have a chat. So you can follow us on Twitter at Mongols, email us at mongols@bgn.fm, head over to iTunes, subscribe to the show, leave us a review. Otherwise, let us know what you thought about this, and thanks everybody. We'll talk to you very, very soon.
Cheers.
Bye guys.
Later.
Before you go, please help us to keep doing what we're doing by becoming a supporter of the show. Head over to mongols.com and click on the Become a Supporter button. For as little as $1 per month, just $1, you can help keep the show commercial free while also getting a say in who we interview, the questions we ask, what we talk about, and you can get some sweet gear as well. Thanks again to all of our listeners for your continued support. That's mongols.com. Click on Become a Supporter. Mongols.com. Become a Supporter. Thanks.